That's how we own it.
What's going on, y'all? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Street Politicians, the place where the streets and politics meet. I'm Maison.
And I'm Tamika D. Mallory. And again, thank you for coming back. You know, this is the place where we agree to disagree almost every single show.
Hey.
But, you know, we appreciate the fact that our audience is learning with us. We're all learning together.
That's right.
And we know we have so much learning to do and so much information to share. This week, Street Politicians is going to cover a few different topics. Number one, want to talk about some things that we've seen on the internet around Dwayne Wade's daughter, Zaya. And we won't necessarily talk about Dwayne Wade and Zaya, but it's also brought up some other conversations about children and LGBTQIA plus expressions and experiences for children. We'll be talking about that. We're going to cover a little bit of the Harvey Weinstein situation. Obviously, he's been found guilty. I'm so excited about that because I am
so excited.
Tired of hearing people say, but what about Harvey Weinstein, when we want to talk about R. Kelly and Bill Cosby and other incidents where black folks have been found to do inappropriate things to women. The anniversary of the Selma Jubilee, which is the bridge crossing that happens in Selma, Alabama every year. If you watch the movie Selma, you saw where John Lewis and Dr. King and others attempted to walk across that bridge. They finally got over the bridge. A battle for voting rights down in Alabama. And it's a part of our history that is extremely powerful. We're going to talk about, it's the 55th anniversary, actually.
Bloody Sunday.
Bloody because many were beaten. John Lewis, when we look at him right now, he has a visible scar. Congressman John Lewis, excuse the great. And it came from Bloody Sunday. So we're going to be there this weekend, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And then my son's going to tell you about what he doesn't get, because he doesn't get anything. I don't get it.
Some stuff I just don't get.
Right. But, you know, I had a thought of the day as I was just thinking, like, centering myself for the conversation around the gender and LGBTQIA plus expressions dialogue. The thought that came to me is that there has to be spaces for black and brown, but as a black person and as a black mother of a black son, safe spaces for us to have some real conversations. Mm-hmm. Like, we really need to get in rooms where we have people who come from all the different identities, black men who are feeling attacked and also feeling just unsure about this moment. Because I think that just as we say we don't want to have division between black women and black men, we also don't want to have division between black men based upon who loves who or who lives a certain way or who has a certain expression. But I can understand how on all different sides, people feel extremely offended and also afraid of what is coming, what's happening around us that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there has to be spaces where there's real safe dialogue, because we're not going to always agree. I have three very important friends. Yandy and I share these friends, very special people to me. And in conversation that we were having just this week, I saw the different levels of pain and experience. They're all three different men who identify as gay. And they are just, and everyone in the conversation that we were having, it was really powerful, and there was a lot there, a lot of pain, a lot of expression, a lot of laughter. But what I appreciated the most is that they allowed me to be ignorant enough to learn. So I asked stupid questions. I probably made stupid statements, and they helped to educate me. And when I walked away from it, I knew more. I felt empowered, and I also felt that I could go out now and encourage and inspire another person who may be in walking through life unsure about these topics. Not just mm-hmm. because they're gay, but because they just might not even understand where they fit in the dialogue. So I just think, you know, the thought of the day today is if we really love all our people, we have to find a way to have conversations where all our people feel safe in those, in that dialogue.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, like I share a couple of those friends that you're speaking of, and a lot of times we especially as Black men coming from where we come from in our communities, there are so much confusion. You know what I'm saying? Like they say that Black community is just homophobic. And I don't know if that's the exact term. I just, sometimes it might be ignorance. You know, a lot of times people are ignorant and they say things out of ignorance. You know, we were raised a certain way and you got to unlearn to learn sometimes. You know, so when you start to embrace people and you realize that the reality is that everybody has different ideologies, different beliefs, different understandings, and you can agree to disagree. You don't have to want to harm somebody. You don't have to think something is crazy with them. You don't have to see them as some type of foreign object or some type of foreign person. And I think when you sit back and you unwrap and you unpack these things, that most of the time people are just human beings, you know? And I think that's
not most of the time. If you're people,
basically.
You're human if you people.
Basically, we just all human beings. And we just, everybody wants to exist. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? I think the fight to exist is where we, you know, we find this tug of war. And I think we got to have safe spaces. You know, I went to my social media, you know, and me and you was having this conversation. And I posted something. And it has nothing to do with sexuality.
Okay.
You know what I'm
it
saying?
It does
really,
now.
I mean, but I don't really think
no,
so.
No, it definitely
I don't think,
does
because
now.
At the end of the day, people have the right to exist as their full selves. You know what I'm saying? If you're gay, if you're lesbian, if you're trans, whatever it is that your reality is, that is your reality. And you should love yourself. You should love whoever you love.
But those it's are, not even, somebody had a comment on your page that I thought
but
was
let me
so,
finish.
No,
with
I know,
you,
but I was okay. just going to say, somebody had a comment on your page that said, the reason why a lot of folks who are gay or who come from that community, and by the way, I have someone very close to me told me that the use of LGBTQIA doesn't also represent everyone as well. So there's a lot of learning that we all can do. But someone wrote on your page that the reason why people who come from these communities feel away is not because they don't love themselves, but because the world doesn't love them. The world treats them a certain type of way.
Well, that's... And that comes from ignorance. It comes from learning. You understand what I'm saying? When you start to identify something that is new to you, people fear what they don't understand. You know, so that comes from learning. And I think we're at a different time. I think we're at a different space where we're learning more every day. I think, you know, the LGBTQIA+ community is becoming something that's way more visible, you know, that we have to have conversations about. We have to educate ourselves about the realities of the situation. And I also think it brings up different topics, like the one that were on my page. It's like, when I look at the topic that I put on my page, what is the lady's name again?
I do not know that woman. Sherry's... It's a white celebrity woman, and if people want...
Charlize Theron. Yes, okay. she has two adopted Black children. One is a young girl, and I want to state first, the post states that she has two young Black boys that she identifies, that she adopted and identify as girls. But it's only one. One of them was born a girl, and then the other one, she identifies as...
How are you going to say she identifies? See, that's what I'm saying about the education.
She identifies.
You're talking about the child?
Girl.
Is it she?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Not the mother
and
identifies.
And the mother said that...
You can't
the
identify
child,
for
listen
somebody.
To me. Okay. And this is what my issue is. And that is the whole question, right? So the article states that at 3 years old, Charlize realized...
I just want to see this article.
Yes, please look it up. You can look it up. It's not really hard.
Can we get some help from the producer's corner?
Yeah, please look it up.
To look up the article that
yes,
talks about
she's,
this
she talks
image.
About it. And, you know, at 3 years old, how do you identify as any gender? You know, and that's what my concern is. My concern is that at three, I don't even remember what I was thinking at three. I didn't have the ability to discern information that was pretty much common sense at three. So how, as a parent, do you give the ability of to a child to identify a gender that is different than their genitalia is?
Right.
How do you give, because you're not going to say, if the child says, you know what, I don't want to go to school, you're going to be like, what? What do you mean you don't want to go to school? If the child says, I want to drive a car, you're not going to say, you're going to be like, I'm not letting you drive a car.
But all those things, see, this is why I feel like we have to be able to sit. It's nothing about us without us, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we have to sit
but see, but
at
you, let me tell you what, let me tell you why in this situation, it's not the same. Because we are, what we're saying is that gender, these are normal things, right? We're saying this is normal. It's just a difference, right? And when we have a conversation with every normal individual, like LGBT and trans are normal people, mm-hmm. right? This is not something that is any type of dysfunction or anything. This is normal. It's just different, right? When we have a conversation with heterosexual people, they will tell you, 9 out of 10 of them, or probably 10 out of 10 of them will tell you that at 3 years old, they were not able to identify gender. Somebody had to, they learned that, they will tell you that it's not, it doesn't even make sense.
Okay, so what
to be able to identify
what
with
I'm
that.
Saying is,
so if
and,
we're
and
saying,
reason,
that, if we're saying wait, that the trans, but, that the trans community has a different level of understanding.
It's not a different level of okay. understanding. It's an experience that only a person who has been through it understands. And or who is going through it, only they
but
understand.
But I don't understand that.
And I think.
What you're saying is not really common
but
sense.
No, it is. But what I'm saying is that it's not common sense to us because we haven't been through it.
What I'm trying to say, as a man, I wasn't able to identify my gender at three.
But it's not about identifying your gender. It's uh-huh. not about identifying that. It's about the fact that just like at 3 years old, 2 years old, you could look at your child and say, this child is going to be a great artist. Or this child is going to be a great singer. Or look at how they build things already. You can see their handwork and eye coordination with a ball and their jump. They already have it. It's something about the child that exists that gives you the impression or gives you a feeling that, you know what, this child has something that is maybe, and also who constructed normal? Because that's another thing that I think we're in the process of confronting right now, that normalcy to us has been defined a certain way that does not make room for people's differences.
I don't think that's really the conversation here.
No, but what I'm saying is that there are people who may, from the time that a child is 3 years old or 4 years old, feel that they see in their child something that they know is very different from maybe even what they experience. And as a result of that, you have parents who watch it and don't try to suppress it. But I understand that there are some people who say, well, how far do you go to push the child or the person towards whatever you believe that they should be? There are people out here that train their child from 2 years old. They read certain types of books to them to help them on the journey towards being a lawyer or a doctor or whatever it is, especially if they see in their child something that's like, oh, maybe this is going to be, let's work on this. Then maybe when they get older, they're like, I don't know, maybe that wasn't it, or maybe it is.
But see what I'm trying to tell you with that right there? You can't do that with a kid.
Because
gender.
What you're saying...
What I'm trying to tell you is you don't... That, to me, that borders on child abuse. When you decide that you see something in a child, that you might just be wanting to see that in a child, right? I'm just asking. This is a question.
So who decided what is right?
What I'm saying, it's not about right or
because
wrong.
Because what you're saying, what I'm is, saying is that is, listen, as a boy, that's what I think the big debate is around... And why we need to have this conversation with other individuals who come from different types of gender expressions. Because
I don't even
who
think,
made a decision that the way we've been doing it all our lives is right?
But that's what I'm trying to say, and I'm not saying, and if the way we've been doing it is wrong, then we're wrong, right? Then we're wrong. If we've been raising, you know, my thing is this, there are certain, if it's not, it's different. Right, if there's certain genitalia on you that you don't identify with, right, that's born that way.
See, that's where we.
But listen to me. But just listen to me. It is because if you identify with a woman, if you identify as a man and you identify as a woman, if you're born a male and you find that you identify as a woman, that you feel as a woman, then your penis is something that you're not really comfortable with.
But that's not true. See, that's what I'm trying
to say.
So
how could you? So that's what I'm confused.
But that's what I'm trying. That's the thing. That's why it is important that when we have these conversations. No, because I have heard when speaking directly to people who are trans, people who have gone through this or who live in this experience every day. Their genitalia is the last thing that matters in terms of what it is that they're experiencing and what they're going through and what they're feeling. And we're so caught up on if you have a penis, then you're this. And if you have a vagina, then you're
that.
But
that's not you. Okay, you just made a whole other statement I'm not saying.
But you are the one who brought up genitalia. And what I'm saying is that what I've heard, and that's why I think, again, I think
but I've
it
heard
is,
different, though.
I think it is.
They're saying that I'm in a different, I'm in the wrong body. This is
right.
So listen to what I'm saying to you. If you're telling me you're in the wrong body, is your genitalia in parts of your body that are specific to a man, not, they're not, they don't have.
There are some that don't say I'm necessarily in the wrong body. They just say that I know that the way that I feel most comfortable is in a dress or at more feminine, being more expressing more of my feminine side and my feminine traits. And again, I think the larger conversation, because the point of me opening this up is not to say that that I agree or don't agree or know or don't know because I don't know. But what I do think is that as leaders who have multiple types of people following us, believing in us, wanting to fight alongside us, I think that it makes sense that when we're having these conversations, that we have the people who experience these different feelings, whether it be the one who feels I'm in the wrong body, the one who feels that it's not so much about my body, but to be at the table.
But I hear what you're saying, and it should be at the table, but listen to what I'm saying.
White folks should never sit down and analyze race and issues about black people without having black people as part of the conversation.
And I hear what you're saying. What I'm trying to say is, it's like everything, right? When something becomes normalized, when something becomes common, it becomes the new topic that people are talking about, there are situations where it is pushed. There are situations where people grab onto the norm. They want to be a part of what's popular. There are situations where that happens. And I'm asking, how do we protect children from...
But
how,
are you saying they want to be a part of being trans?
No, they want to be a part... Maybe they want to be a part of being comfortable in the trans community. Maybe they want to be a part of making their children, or maybe they wanted to have a girl and decided they had a boy. How do we protect children against things like this, is what I'm trying to say. Because how do we know...
How do we...
When we start saying that a three-year-old is capable of deciding that their gender is different than the one... that their
but
bodies.
But who said that? That's what I'm
this
trying to...
This is what the woman said. Okay, she said at 3 years old that the woman told her she was a boy. I mean, she was a girl.
The little girl
yes,
who was a boy
she,
at one point.
Yes.
Or she's still a boy,
yes.
probably, right? I don't know.
No, she
identifies as a girl.
She said,
so that makes you
exactly.
a girl.
Right? So this is what she said.
Okay,
so what I'm asking...
All right.
And this is my total thing. It has nothing to do with adults, even teenagers, because at teenage, I was aware of my own sexuality. I was comfortable with who I was. I identified with what I was. I was able to make decisions based on learning and feeling like, yo, this ain't really for me. So in that space, at a teenage years, you come to understand your gender, your sexuality, your body. There are things that you identify. And you say, well, this is what I like, this is what I don't like.
And that's why I'm saying, that's why I consistently say that there may be a person who is 20 years old right now who says, since I was that small, these are the things that I experienced that let it be known to me that I was different or that I may be trans or whatever. And I wish that my parents would not have tried to force me into whatever else they felt was a norm. Because maybe when I was 3 and 4, I was already saying, I don't like, I don't like basketball. I want to play with dolls. I don't like...
But that's not really true, because at 3 or 4, I was playing with dolls and I had a sister. And I still play with the basketball. And when she came with her dolls, I played with the dolls.
See, it wasn't about what I identified. You said, how do we protect children? And what I'm trying to tell you is that we also have to protect children from their parents forcing their truth or their desires
on the child, that's what I'm saying.
From every part of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Not just from, why are you going to allow her to wear a dress? But also, why would you force her into pants if that's not what she wants to do?
Okay, so but why do you force them to go to school?
Why do you force them to listen to you?
But listen to me, and this is a conversation.
I'm glad you said that
because every person that is from the LGBT community, a lot of them tell me that the life that they were born into is a painful life. If they could have chosen, most of them said, this is not a life that I've chosen. This is how I was born. So listen to me. So if you make a decision based on a person who's living in a life that's telling you that they've been dealing with turmoil and pain their whole life, right? And you looked at a 3 and a 4-year-old, and you made a decision that this 3 or 4-year-old said something to you, and you're deciding that I'm going to let a 3-year-old who has no ability to discern. Yes, let. Because you're in charge of this child.
I'm going to answer you when you finish.
You're in charge of a child. If a child says, I'm not doing this, you have, as a parent, you have a parental abilities, you have parental responsibilities. So when do we give the parents some level of control over how they interact with a child who's telling them at 3 years old that they're not the sex that they were born?
I'm going to say this. To you again. That means that you've decided, first of all, that a certain way of life is harmful or that it's bad.
No, it's not bad. No, that's not what I've decided.
Let me finish.
No, but that's wrong, because I don't want you to misstate. But you can't say that, though.
Let me finish saying what I'm saying. The reason why I'm saying that you've decided that is because...
That's not what I've decided. I'm saying that if you have... Having based on conversations and learning.
My son, the conversation is exactly what I just told you.
What
was on your page? The person said, as a trans person, it's not me, it's the way the world treats me. So what Alicia Keys was saying when she was talking about her beautiful son and him wanting to wear nail polish, what she was saying is, I wish he could live in a world where people just wouldn't judge him. It's not I want to change him. It's not that I want to stop him from being who he is. It's not that I want to stop that child from being free. I want you, not you, but you people, to stop judging him. Mm-hmm. So the way in which we look at it, what you're saying, without, maybe you don't recognize it, but what you're saying is we need to suppress the child, or let me just finish.
No, I said we need to raise the child. Can I just finish saying what I'm saying?
Yes. Because raising the child may be that I'm allowing my child to wear girl clothes. That's me raising my fucking child. It's not your child. I'm not asking you to put fucking dresses on your son. I'm not asking you to put pants on your son. I'm not asking you to do anything.
But I'm saying, with my child. What I'm going to say again, once again, first of all, this adopted child that you adopted.
So once I adopt them, that's mine.
Okay,
Just like another ignorant person on your page said some shit about.
All right, so then.
So, okay, so listen to me.
So you can adopt the child and decide, you know what, I want to raise this child as a girl.
No. That's not what she said.
So what is she saying?
But that's not what she said. Based upon what I'm hearing, or at least maybe I'm not educated.
Uh-huh.
But what I heard her say was the child gave them the impression or told her that this is how I feel.
Okay, at three.
So here's what I'm saying to you.
Yes.
When I walk in, this is the world that we want to live in, or the world that I also want to live in.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know, and I need to process and deal with my own internal issues and biases and things that I deal with. So I'm going to put that out there off the bat. But what I am saying is that we walk into a store. If I walk into a store with my child, boy or girl, boy or girl, genitalia-wise, mm-hmm. when we walk into the store, if my child, as a boy, runs towards the girl clothes, that's what the fuck I'ma let you put on. Maybe you don't go over this way where the boys go. Maybe you...
At three years old.
So what? I'm actually, who decided but that, what the girls are supposed to
wear? But that's
what
we're trying to figure out. To me, that's the whole question. So if you're making a decision that at 3 years old, that a boy, that you're going to raise the boy...
Who said boys' clothes have to be a certain way?
Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm not saying boys' clothes. She said that I'm not... This is not a boy. It's a girl. This is what she said. Okay. I'm not saying boys' clothes or whatever has to be a certain way. What I'm trying to say is, if you made a decision that a three-year-old came to you and said, I'm not a boy, I'm a girl, and you honored that decision and you're going to raise that child as a girl, with a child who has no ability, that you wouldn't give the ability to make discernment about way less life.
Tell me what's the right way.
Okay, so listen to me. If you decide that you won't let your kids stay up to 8 o'clock, is it right or wrong? Or you decide to let them get some sleep?
That's what I mean. You're saying what is right or wrong? That can harm them.
How?
That's harmful. Okay. Because if you, like you said, if I say make you go to school, if you don't go to school, you're not going to be educated. Uh-huh. What is going to, and you go to jail as a parent for not putting your child in school.
Exactly.
That means that
so that's what
I'm asking you.
Yes.
So what is the right way? What is the right way? Since sending your child to school uh-huh. is the right way to do it.
Yes.
Then what is the right way to raise a child?
What do you mean? I don't know. I'm asking you.
I'm giving you my answer.
Okay, so my right way to raise a child is what I believe is this. As a parent, your parental duties are to raise your child until they have discernment.
And so my
raising your child is not allowing them to make decisions that are life changing.
So what's the right decision?
Two and three.
If you are a boy,
yes.
If you were born
yes.
with a penis,
yes.
Then what is the right decision? And the bigger question that uh-huh. I have is who decided what that decision is?
Who decided what the framework is?
Because you're saying that the boy should be living in a certain framework. Uh-huh. That means that your son is going to wear pants. He's going to, do certain things that boys do. He's not going to be, let's just say, a ballerina. Uh-huh. But instead, he's going to be, a hip-hop dancer or a basketball player. We're not going to send him to all-girl sleepovers. We're going to raise him as a boy. Uh-huh. I'm asking you, who defined what raising a child as a boy means?
Well, raising a child as a boy first means that you identify that child as a boy. That is the first thing that you do. When you have a boy...
So listen to me.
The parameters are you identify your son as a son
okay.
until
so
they're able to.
So what happens with the son? Explain to me what are the norms of a son?
What do you mean? There's no norms of a son. You're raising your son as a son. I don't know what the norms look like. You might decide, if you decide that you're raising your son, he's going through a phase, he wants to wear clothes. He believes that this is what he's supposed to believe. And he believes that he's supposed to wear these clothes. He likes these clothes best. If that's how you want to raise your child, and that's your personal thing, cool. But allowing a 3-year-old to tell you that they're not a boy, there's a girl, I think there is a parental.
Okay.
There
so
is
parental
malfeasance.
So what
in
if
that.
She says?
I believe
so
that.
So what if they? No, and I think.
I believe
and
that.
What I think is the malfeasance, and
yes.
I, and we can end this here because we have other stuff to talk about. And you can say whatever you want to say after this, but what I think is the malfeasance is that we are so stubborn that we refuse to understand that somewhere along the line, somebody told us what these things are supposed to look like, mm-hmm. what the son and the daughter and the way and this and that, how people are supposed to operate. And I think that the malfeasance is that we are making decisions for a child based upon what we feel and what society is.
So what do you do?
What is
parenting look like? Do you let your child run into the middle of the street?
I was going to say.
Because they want to?
About something that is very personal. Uh-huh. And I'm talking
about
gender.
But how does it be personal?
How?
It's not gender. Listen to me. The ability to discern knowledge, information, these are things that have to be present when you make a decision. A three-year-old does not have enough of those things to make a decision about his own gender.
That is for you to nurture. And to shape.
That is for you to
nurture. But here's the thing, my
son. And if you're nurturing them into...
If your son comes to you, why is it not also... And again, I raised my son as what I believe the norms are for a young man. Okay, and I don't believe that if I had another child that was 3 years old that told me that he thinks he's a girl, I don't know that I would be like, oh, let's go buy dresses and do all of this and that. I don't know that, and I don't know if that's right or wrong, and I don't know if I would have to.
But that's the question.
Here's the thing: I also don't know if I had a child that had certain types of things going on and certain types of expressions and feelings and things that I identify with as a parent, things that I could see, and they say I'm a girl or I'm whatever I am, I don't know what that feels like because I've never experienced it. Okay. And I think that a person who is a parent who has experienced it, because we also hear, to your point about all the things that have been said, we've heard from fathers who have said, you know what, I was against it. I tried to beat my child.
But that's not, no. But that's that but, right
but,
there.
But
listen to
is,
me. But that
see,
right there, because I don't want you to convolute the two things, because they're two different things.
Get your point after mine, and then whatever. I've heard people say, I tried to beat them, I tried to change them, I tried to do all these things. But at some point, I realized that they were who they were.
Mm-hmm.
And that we knew.
But not at three.
But that's the bottom line. That's why I'm telling you that the conversation needs to also be with parents who have a different, they don't feel that way. They like, no, at three. Listen to me. They tell you that by the age of three, you can tell whether or not a child is going to go to prison, whether or not they're going to do all types of things, what type of greatness they will have. By the age
that's
of
a
three,
lie. They, that's by
son,
third grade.
By the age
they,
of three,
they do
my
all
son.
Of that by third grade.
No,
by the age
no, no,
of three
my
is
son,
when,
look
that's,
it up.
That's when you're learning. The age of three is
the
when
age
you
of
start
third
to.
Grade that, is when the school to prison pipeline.
Yeah, because they're able to tell where you're going
to
go. What are
you
talking about?
By the age of 3 years old.
What?
They are able.
My kids are completely different kids as they were at three.
So you're going to tell me.
Listen to me.
That is not true.
That is 100% true.
My son, that is not true.
That is 100% true.
That is not true. Because there are things about your sons that you, when all of us have been talking about kids, they have remained. Your son, Cameron, has remained one of the most creative children since he was very small. When I first met y'all as a family, one thing we all knew was that Cameron was extremely creative with his hands. He was an extremely creative child, and he's only gotten better. He's only gotten greater at it.
But now he's into sports. He doesn't even do all of the creative stuff. He used to always want to come and make a creation. He don't do none of that shit anymore. Now he plays sports.
But guess what?
And now he watches his thing and he plays sports.
With the great parents that the two of you are, the great family that you are, when he was three and he said he felt creative, y'all bought him all of the right things to allow him to get into that.
Okay.
And then at the point that he made change to with his sports that he's in now, now we as a family shift to be able
I'm asking you, and this is my whole thing.
Because I want to be happy from the beginning of their life. I don't want to stop my child.
So listen to me.
Happy.
Okay, so my thing is this. Are you doing the right thing? Are you making your child happy by allowing your child who is not, doesn't have any knowledge, wisdom, or understanding of who he is.
Kids have more wisdom.
Yo, listen to me. No, they don't. At three, I didn't have no wisdom. There was no wisdom at three.
Okay.
The bottom line, at three, I had no ability to discern. I didn't even know what the fuck I was or anything. I couldn't even tell you the difference between anybody. Kids don't know this race. They don't know any. At 3 years old, nobody's coming to you, why this person is light-skinned, dark-skinned. They don't know. They just enjoying life. So if a kid comes to you that might have seen something on TV, or the best person they like is a girl, and she says, I'm a girl, somebody told her a girl, and they identify, and they say, I'm a girl too, and you are you going to nurture that in your child because you think it's going to make them comfortable?
No, I think I'm going to not be so stressed over it and worry about it.
But it's not about stress. It's about parenting.
And I think that based upon the education that I have today, uh-huh. not the education of the past, and I also think I'm going to make big mistakes and I'm going to mess up, and that my own biases and my own ego and my own feelings and everything else is going to be there. And so there's going to be times when I'm not going to do the right thing. But what I would want to hope for myself and the education that I've had and all that I've learned and the people that I've been exposed to is that when my child comes to me and says something like this, not I don't want to go to school, not things like that. Those are things that we have to be able to move. And by the way, it used to be you gotta go to college. And now in society, we're finding out that sending a kid directly to college, like imagine a president's child not going to college after the first year. That wasn't happening. And now you see President Obama and them said, you know what? You could, Sasha, I think it was Sasha or Malia. Sometimes I get them confused. You know what? You could stay home for the first year. Mm-hmm. And that's something that has become a new thing that people are doing. It used to be that there was only a certain type of education that you could get. You had to go to a school and sit behind a desk. You brought up school. So what I'm saying is that the education that I have now, I would want to hope that I become the type of parent that when my child comes to me, especially not if my child has been a certain way, and then all of a sudden he goes around a group of friends and he comes back and he's acting like something different. That's different. But I want to believe, and I ain't talking about white folks adopting black children. That's a different conversation. We could talk about that all day. There's all kinds of issues with white people adopting black children and doing different types of things. Some of them do great things. Some of them do not so great things. Some of them do terrible things. So that's different. But I'm saying, as a black parent, I want to be able to look at my child and not prevent them from being their full selves and from being happy their entire life. And that means that we're going to have to walk an uncomfortable road together.
But what is an uncomfortable road about a three-year-old? Listen to me. You are guiding every move. So listen to me. You're going to guide everything else the child. Everything else that child comes to you that goes disaccording to what you know, you're going to say no. Just listen to me. Uh-huh. Everything else that they come to you that goes disaccording to what you feel or learn, no. You're going to say no about.
But that's what I'm saying. That is the conversation that I think we're being forced to right
what?
Now. Is that maybe some of that is not right.
But I'm
and
asking you.
I'm not talking about with gender.
But what? I'm saying, but that's all I'm trying to say.
Because guess
but we
what?
Can't. We can't.
Let me tell you why. Because I watch you and your children. I watch my best friend Jamie and her son and different people whose kids have grown up very different. Like, when I think about how I was raised and then how I raised Tariq, I can see where there's some challenges with my son and I. Based upon, as I was raising him, I believe a child shouldn't speak. You whoop their ass if you have to. You know, just certain things, traditional things that I was taught. And that don't mean that we didn't turn out well. But today, as I watch your parenting, as I watch the parenting of other friends that I have, there's much more expression for these kids. Mm-hmm. They're being allowed to be much more open. They can talk, they can do things. When I was little, I used to get beat. I used to have to stay in the house and my school treated me a certain way because I ran my mouth too much. Oh, you talk too much. And I went through hell. I still deal with what they put me through because I was a kid that was too talkative. But look at me. I freaking spoke before 5 million people in this world. And I ran my mouth. I ran my mouth for change. I ran my mouth to make a difference in society. And if somebody had fostered when I was little that, maybe I wouldn't have gone through half the shit that I've been through in my life if they would have allowed me to be who I was at that time. And I think that we as a society are developing to a place, we're coming to a place where people are beginning to understand that some of the shit that we were taught, we pushed on our kids and it hurt them. It didn't help them.
But that makes 100% sense, Tamika. And I'm all for nurturing attributes in kids and seeing where they have attributes. But I do not believe that a three-year-old is enough knowledgeable, has enough wisdom, understanding about self, about life, about anything, to make a decision about his gender. Especially when it's contrary to how their birth anatomy. I personally believe that you, as a parent, you have the right, you have the responsibility to tell that child, no, you're a boy.
You shouldn't have to tell
until he is able to discern for himself and say,
we're going to live this way. But I don't know that you have the right to tell somebody.
But you have the right to tell them what to wear every day. They wake up, you put the clothes on, you tell them what to eat.
But
what do you mean? It's not so different. Because they would choose to eat other food than you feel like, than you feel is nutritional for them. Or you feel is best for them. You cook food and you said, this is what we got to eat here.
And who you are.
That's even more important. That is way.
No, it's not. How are you going to say that what
are
somebody eats is more important than their gender
are
and
you
who
serious?
They are? So you telling me that what I eat is more important than who I am when I wake up in the morning every single day?
No.
It's not. So
that's what
I'm
trying to tell
you. So that's what I'm saying. Those
who
things,
you are, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Who you are is way more important.
Exactly.
So
the things that are less important, you can control. But the things that are more important.
You don't.
Is the exactly.
Are you serious?
Yeah, absolutely.
So for a child, the things that are most important for a 3-year.
No, we cannot stay on this.
No, I just want to say, I'm going to get off. I'm getting off of this. But you're telling me that the most important things in a child, a 3-year-old child's life, you don't have any control or say so over.
No, right. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's the key word. Listen
to me.
Control.
Listen to me.
I think I have influence, but I do not know if I have control over who a person is.
But that's what I'm trying to tell you.
And I could be all wrong.
But it's not about, you're right. The word is influence and nurturing. You're supposed to, as a parent, your job is to nurture your child.
Okay.
Right? Well, and to lead the child.
But you don't.
And if a child comes to you at the age of 3, at the age, not 10, not 11,
three,
at the age
says,
of 3.
This is who I am. Why do you have to say, no, you're not?
And the child says, I'm a boy. I'm
so
a girl,
not a boy.
So
then what happens when they're 10 and they only remember when you told them they wasn't? Like, and they don't feel comfortable.
But at that,
at
that age, then you start to make understanding.
So the next
you start to look and say, let's
today,
figure this out. But at 3 years old, you don't let somebody just change their gender. It just doesn't. It's just not. It's not parenting.
Your gender.
You are.
No,
you don't because
okay,
you don't get. You don't let a 3-year-old decide their gender. You just don't.
My son.
You just don't.
My son.
You just don't
decide your gender. And that's what I'm talking about. You don't decide your gender.
But you're trying to tell.
You recognize
your
gender.
So can I ask you a question?
So Harvey Weinstein.
Can I ask you a question? Do you think there was ever a 3-year-old that thought, that said, I'm a girl and a boy, that put on some girl's clothes and said, I'm a girl, that wasn't a girl at all, that grew up to be a heterosexual boy? I'm asking you a question. I'm asking a question. Do you think that happened?
And there were two that he was not convicted of. The two that he was convicted of were rape and sexual assault. The ones that he was not convicted of was predatory sexual assault, which would have given him life in prison. But he did get convicted of rape and sexual assault. And, of course, there's been,
you know. I've
been trying to change the subject. So, another topic here. Okay, well, so let's go back into it. So, we have a lot more, and I think, again, we should make sure we bring other people as a part of the dialogue who have experienced these issues or experienced these different expressions in life so that we could have a more full conversation and allow other people to speak from lived experience. Harvey Weinstein is a big topic today. Well, some people, like Plies, says it's not that big of a topic at all because he feels like it's not on the news. He wants everybody in the world to know that Harvey Weinstein was convicted of 2 counts of rape. So I saw somewhere it said 4, and then I saw somewhere else it said 2. But I know that he definitely was convicted of rape and sexual assault. It's involving 2 women. And he was not guilty on predatory sexual assault, which would have given him life in prison. The other charges would give him somewhere between 5 to 10 years on each charge, these 2 charges. And of course, now that he's in prison, he was remanded immediately to Rikers Island, which is where people go when you're in New York and you're found guilty of these types of crimes. He now has chest pains. and has had to be moved to the hospital. He's not feeling well. And you know that has just set the internet on fire. And there's been some conversation about whether he will receive lighter sentencing because he's a first-time offender, which also applies that he don't agree with.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there ain't really much to talk about that. Harvey Weinstein is...
Yeah, talk up. The beat into the conversation. Talk up.
Well, it ain't really much to talk about. You know, Harvey Weinstein is a predator. You know, he's always been a predator. I mean, it's been documented for years. There are so many, like, I heard the tape with a lady when he was trying to pull her into the room and she was like, please, and he was like, don't. Like, this was a predator. This was a man who was literally taking women's bodies. So I don't have any remorse, you know, whatever he gets, you know, that's his own karma. He has to deal with it. I mean, I think, like Ply said, this probably hasn't been plastered all over the news as much as, you know, Bill Cosby was, right. Or, you know, and even as much as we heard about R. Kelly, you know. But the reality is, you know, I just hope they do the right thing, you know.
And send him to jail.
And send him in to jail. And he just need to go on and, you know, deal with his own demons. And, you know, and maybe we'll see the Harvey Weinstein story. To get the behind
or maybe Gail will interview him.
Hey, maybe.
And Oprah, so that people can. But don't you think it's time for. Sorry, I got all stuck here. Sorry. Oh, my God. But don't you think it's time now for the conversation about. The comparison between Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby and R. Kelly. And I know that's not what you were saying. You're comparing media, the media, and how the media has portrayed it. Mm-hmm. But don't you think it's time for us to stop comparing the two or bringing up Harvey Weinstein every time we talk about Bill Cosby and R. Kelly? Because, by the way, both R. Kelly and Bill Cosby were not convicted in the beginning when women started making accusations. Mm-hmm. They both were able to pay their way and wiggle their way out of, you know, jail time or being convicted in court of crimes. So when it happens with Harvey Weinstein, it's like it's something different. But actually, it's all really the same standard. And the standard is that women are often not protected.
I mean, I think from the perspective of our community, it's that we feel like it's highlighted when it's black men. Like you said, it's all plastered all over the news. It's everywhere. You can't turn from a channel. Black women are outraged, calling rapists, this and that. They're so outraged in the world, the worst. But they don't have the same vitriol and outrage for the white predator. And that's just how black men see it. You know, maybe we're looking from a closed lens. Maybe is different, but it just doesn't seem the same way. There doesn't seem the same anger from black women about a white rapist as it is about a black man. So that's I don't know if that's going to change. I don't know if it's going to do anything that he was found convicted. I don't know, because when, like you said, the same media coverage is not happening. It's not the same applause and people saying good, he need to go, and all up your timeline and good for Harvey Weinstein. It ain't happened when happened to Bill Cosby and it happened to R. Kelly. It was all up your timeline. Everywhere you turned, you looked, it was fuck them, they need to die, and anybody saying something is apologists. It was a bunch of real, you know, plastered everywhere. So I don't know if that's going to change based on this situation.
But then
know?
The question that I is it who we follow?
Because I know that
if you go into, say, Pantsuit Nation or maybe, like, the Women's March chats, I believe white women are saying, maybe even crying, that they finally got him. They're having the same expression of feeling. I saw a lot of different comments saying, you know, I feel vindicated. I never was able to get my rapist or the person who assaulted me, but this time I feel like they got one on all our behalf. But we follow black people. Mm-hmm. So, and then the bigger question is, why do black women have to go after white men about stuff that they did to white people?
But that's not accurate though, because this is not the stuff they did to white people. This man was raping black women.
It was like two black women.
It doesn't.
Kelly and Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby. It was a lot of white.
Exactly. This is what I'm trying to tell you. This is what I'm trying to tell you. So it's the same. It's the same situation. And
but he's a black man.
But that's what we're trying to say. If he's a black man and you are so, you want him to die.
Well, who said?
But listen to me. Who said it? So you,
die.
So what you're trying to tell me that people that say he need to rot in jail, you need to do this.
Rot in jail.
Okay, so die, if you rot in jail, that means you, if you rot in jail, you're dying. They want you to die in jail.
No, don't be so technical
it. So I'm just being honest.
Rot in jail is an expression.
It's an expression because they want your ass to die in prison. That's what it means. So when black women are so adamant about him dying in prison, but nobody has no type of anger or don't really care that a white man that raped black women is gonna rot in prison.
But why do you keep saying nobody cares? Is it possible that just the same way that the media is not necessarily exploiting him today yesterday being convicted, perhaps the media is also not giving life to all the women, black, white, or whomever, Asian, everybody who's out here, who was out there advocating for him to go to prison, for him to be convicted.
But that's,
the media is not showing that. Okay, but instead, the messaging, the way we hear it, you know how you just said, this is how it feels to black men? The way we hear it is, why won't black women get just as upset with Harvey Weinstein as they do with Bill Cosby and this and that and the third? And one, the man who raped me looks more like Bill Cosby and R. Kelly, right? That's who was in my bed, in my house, not me personally, but I'm saying this is some women's experience, right? Mm-hmm. They don't look like Harvey Weinstein.
Okay.
So that's number one. But also, why isn't the conversation, why won't the media show how outraged women are?
Because when you say that, and in our own homes, in our own circumferences, we're not having to come. Nobody's outraged. All we hear when it's a black man, people are in your ear all day about this shit on your own phone. So I hear what you're saying. It's not about the media. It's in real life. In real life time, people in our community is not outraged about Harvey Weinstein. And they don't give a fuck, but they're outraged and want to see the black man rot in jail who did it. So this is what I'm trying to say. Like, Kobe Bryant, who is dead, they're talking about rape allegations. And that'll get more fucking publicity than Harvey Weinstein. But this is what I'm trying to tell you. So it gets more of a conversation. It's more people. But it's not just the media. It's also the media is reporting what people seem to be attracted to. That's what the media does. The media does that too.
Come on, we know.
Listen to me. They do it. They do it because they know that you're going to pay attention to it. And there is not enough. If there was when black Twitter is going crazy about something, media gonna report it.
That's not
true. Black Twitter is not reporting about.
First of all, Black Twitter was going crazy about a Tatiana Jefferson and other cases of police brutality and things that happened to black people and it never showed up on a CNN or anywhere else. Black Twitter was going crazy about Parchment Prison, and I can tell you right now that most of these different networks probably showed it once, if that. Okay.
But it was seen though.
And so has Harvey Weinstein and the marches where there've been a rainbow of women out there. It's been on there one time, right? But there is the media. No, but I'm saying the media, as we all know, is engaged.
Did you see the front of the courthouse when Bill Cosby was going to court, man?
There was women out there for both sides.
You think it was who was?
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Did you see images of the march that the other women held? Of all races for Harvey Weinstein?
No.
Okay. They were there, though. I saw it. It was on my timeline because it's the people I follow.
Okay.
Zakiya Ansari was there, who's our sister. Rakia, what's our girl Rakia's last name? Rakia Mays. She was out there. So there were strong black women out there as well, but the media is not trying to show it. Just like they're not going to give you every day Harvey Weinstein was convicted, they also won't necessarily cover when people are out there standing up. So I think that we challenge us instead of challenging them.
Okay, what I'm just asking.
What?
What you're saying is that you can honestly say that you see the same outrage for black women when white rapists and predators are being, held accountable. Do you see the same outrage? Just honestly. If you could tell me yeah, then
no,
cool.
No.
Okay, so cool. That's the problem. No. So that's the problem. That's it. It ain't nothing else. Doing whatever
but
it is.
I don't know why it's a problem.
But it is a problem. It's a problem for black men. It's a problem for black men. It is.
Okay,
you know?
Well, whatever. I mean, you know what? I think we should keep the same energy, but I also think that some people are, and they're not getting the type of attention that they deserve.
Okay.
So that's what I think. So this weekend, we head back to Selma.
Selma.
Selma, Alabama. It's such a, you know, for people that don't go, they just don't know, like, what it is that they're missing. If you are black in America, and your lineage comes specifically from, like, because, you know, there are a lot of people that's black, Afro-Latina, you know, you have people who identify as being black or a part of black culture who don't necessarily come from a certain roots in mm-hmm. a certain type of way. So if you understand that story of, like, the South, your family members coming from the South,
mm-hmm.
your big mama living in Alabama, Mississippi, to know that the birth of the civil rights movement was there as well, and that our own family members could have been a part of it, is a real special kind of thing. And I'm sure people from other cultures have that too.
Mm-hmm.
Things that are real special to them that the rest of the world may not understand. And I think Selma is one of those places. And everybody should take their children there.
Definitely need to go to Selma. Do the bridge crossing, Edmund Pettus Bridge. It's an experience. Families, you know, you need your children probably need to go across once. I mean, it ain't really a lot of children, like really young children out there. They have mostly teenagers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You don't really see a lot of young children. I think at some point during your child's life, you probably should take them and give them the history lesson. And as they cross and they read some of the things and some of the people who historically were there. They have some of the, what they call them, the...
Oh, God, I forget. I can't remember their names, but they, like...
The people who crossed the bridge, they were there.
You know, Fire Rose. Well, she wasn't there, I don't think.
Damn, what is the term that they use?
But they keep it going. Fire Rose, who's down in Selma, Alabama, and her husband, Hank, they keep it going there in the Civil Rights Museum. But there are people who... crossed the bridge. They were there. They were with Dr. King.
Yes, they were there. They crossed the bridge. They let them cross first. You know, it's a beautiful thing, man. You know, so, and then most of the elected officials are there, especially it's a presidential election, so most of the elected officials will probably be there.
Oh, yeah. They
you know, so, there. You know, it's going to be.
But it's sad the way they treat the town.
They do. And that's one thing we need to talk about. They have to start the town. For it to be such a historical reference in our history is very poor, you know, and it's sad that they don't pour into it. A lot of these politicians and rich people come there and they cross this bridge and they go and they buy some food and they buy a flag or something, but they don't pour into the community to make sure that community is still strong and standing. So I think that's
it's very, very, like, desolate and just... You know, when I go to Selma, I always have this sense of pride and deep sadness. Because even though the community is wonderful, they will tell you themselves that it's a struggle. The town, they hardly have stores. I mean, you would think, since this is a historic site, that everything would be there. Not gentrified, but bustling, successful. And instead, you know, it's tough there in Selma. So,
it is, man, but... Shout out to Selma. See y'all this weekend. We'll be there.
So, you don't get it.
I don't get it.
All of what we discussed
I don't get nothing that happened today. That's a whole nother topic. Oh. I just don't get a lot of stuff. But today's topic of I don't get it, the young boy Pop Smoke. Mm-hmm. He was gunned down in Beverly Hills. In the Beverly Hills, you know, a Beverly Hills home that he was staying in. First they said it was a robbery. Some people said that he accidentally gave out his address on Instagram
in the picture.
Then they said that it was a hit, that somebody had gave his address to somebody for some reason, that it was a planned hit. I just don't get why we just keep killing our young black boys, man. Like, I really don't, and I want to have this conversation with us. You know, these are young artists these are young people coming from our communities. And why don't we value our own lives? Why are we taking our own lives? You know, we protest so much when our lives are being taken by the police, you know, but injustice, you know. And I just really don't get why we don't value ourselves, why we don't see ourselves as the kings that we are. Why aren't we fighting to live? Why are we targeting each other? Why are we taking out people, like, why are we taking out people who are coming up in our community? Why aren't we celebrating each other? Why aren't we uplifting each other? I understand the communities we come from. Why? But the reality is, when one of us makes it, we all should see it as we make it. You know, I understand that we've been taught to hate each other. I understand that we've been taught to envy each other. I understand that we're dealing with poverty. I understand that we come from marginalized communities. I understand these things. But I just will never understand, why do we see some level of comfort or accomplishment in taking our own brothers' lives? You know, and I just don't get it. And I hope somebody can try to explain it to me one day. But until then, I just don't get it.
Well, I do think people are engaged in trying to curb violence and bring more healing and peace to our communities. And you say you don't get it, but I think you do get it. I think you know exactly what it is about, you know, our history here. The violence that was done to us, we perpetuated. And we really haven't healed as a community. We have so many things that we don't agree on, and so many of our people are struggling just to get by every day, that when we do see someone make it out, it almost feels like no one else will ever have that opportunity, so why you and not me? And I think that the work that we have to do is going to start very, very young, with our very, very small babies. Before they can even read, they're going to need to have instilled in them certain types of principles and qualities, that it's not about just taking them out of the community. Because I think that's what some parents feel. Like, if I move him or her, then I don't have to worry about them being a certain way. But really, even within our communities, we need to be able to teach our children about love and respect and compassion and pride, and honoring and uplifting each other. You know, I think if you as a child watch your parents behave the same way, they always on the telephone talking about who they hate. Excuse me, how they don't like so-and-so, and, you know, tearing each other down, then that's what you're going to also be. But even that parent, I don't believe, is doing it just because they're ignorant. It's a pain that a lot of people are suffering with. And I think, you know, as we work every day, we have to get down to the root cause of that pain and then figure out how we reverse and retrain and relearn some of the things that we feel and do.
Yeah, I hear you. But for me, it's just looking at Pop Smoke, looking at Nipsey Hussle, looking at Young Snoop, and just seeing how we constantly see this cycle of us trying to evolve, us trying to get out, us trying to do better for ourselves, and us constantly killing us. You know, and as much as I can see and hear certain things, and we know the trauma exists, I just don't get it.
There you have it.
And there we have it. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of Street Politicians, where we fight and we discuss.
Like a wrestling match.
And we come up with real ideas and real opinions. And we want anything that you have to talk about, any ideas you have, any subjects that y'all want us to talk about. We're going to have some real guests up here soon. But right now,
I'm a real guest on Street
Politicians. Yeah, I feel like I'm the guest, because I'm always getting tore down. You know what I'm saying?
Tore down.
Yeah, you out here trying to kill me, man.
I'm not trying to kill you.
You out here trying to
kill
me.
We were having a very spirited dialogue.
Okay.
And you had your opinion.
Okay.
So I can't have mine?
No. It's not an opinion, because you cut me off in the middle of my opinion. But
we'll
get back to that.
I cut you off. You know you cut me off, too.
Listen,
we're going
to
go back and watch the tape.
Yeah, let's watch the tape. Listen to me. We may not always be right. We damn sure don't always agree.
And we cut each other off.
But we always gonna be authentic.
That's how we own it.